Renate?
Ja?
Jeg må fortelle deg hvordan jeg ble kjent med Sassoon.
Ja.
For jeg har alltid visst om Sassoon, jeg vet ikke akkurat når jeg fikk greie på det, men jeg liksom Sassoon at det som merke og brand liksom, men ikke som hvem personen var. Og jeg hadde fått greie på at det hadde kommet en bok om Vidal Sassoon. Og spurte jo da ja, han som leverandøren. De som kommer inn, hva heter de igjen?
Selgerne
på Vella. Og spurte jeg, kan ikke jeg få tak i den boka? Hvor får jeg tak i den? Nei, jeg visste ikke helt om de hadde kommet til Norge. Men jeg kunne låne boka hans da. Så jeg tror det opp på Vella. De var jo på en helt annen side av byen og fikk denne boka og leste side for side. Og den ganske tjukk. Og på engelsk.
Ja.
Og da ble jeg så fascinert av historien hans, og etter det så har jeg liksom følt Sassoon på en helt annen måte, liksom. Jeg synes han fantastisk, og så generøs og gavmild med sin kunnskap. Han bare kjempefascinerende person.
Mm. Du har sett filmen da?
Ja, ja, of course. Det, var det andre jeg gjorde etter det var å kjøpe filmen og se filmen også. Mm. Og den har jeg sett mange ganger.
Ja, nei,
du har sett den du også?
Mange ganger. Jeg har vært på visninger i London flere ganger også.
Ja.
Og det kjempeprofesjonelt. Hvis du ikke god i det språket, hvis la oss si du fra Italia, og ikke forstår engelsk veldig godt, så sitter det da en italiensk sånn, oversetter bak scenen, så får du noen øreplugger som vi har, og så er det dette som gjør den translate. Så det er alt det som blir sagt på scenen, går rett inn i ørene dine da, så du kan følge med på, som alle andre. Det er så proft ut at det...
Ja, det er det. Jeg har vært der, jeg også. Det er virkelig proft fra ATO. Det...
Velkommen til Hårepodden. Jeg heter Renate.
Jeg heter Ann-Marit. Hva er Renate? Ja. Episode 100.
Ja, det helt vilt. Det ikke helt vilt.
Ja, hvem skulle trodd?
Ja, jeg trodde det egentlig, for hvis du først bestemmer oss for noe, så er det stoppelig.
Ja.
Så, men 100 er likevel mange episoder, liksom.
Ja. Ja, jeg føler meg virkelig, virkelig takknemlig for at vi får lov til å holde på det her, og at vi har fått så mange spennende, inspirerende gjester, 100 stykk. Mm.
Ja. Ja, det helt vilt. Altså, ja. Det helt vilt. Super takknemlig til alle.
Og selvfølgelig lytterne
som ja.
Følger oss.
Og du gjorde noe ganske morsomt her for en liten stund siden. Kan du fortelle om det?
Tenker du på meldinga?
Ja, jeg tenker selvsagt. Tenker du på meldinga?
Ja, fordi jeg tenkte jo episode 100, det må jo være noe som er litt spesielt. Så jeg sendte en melding på Instagrammen til ingen ringere enn Marquez, og tenkte det verste fall, jeg får vel bare ikke noe svar. Men han svarte innen timen og takket ja. Det er jo helt fantastisk. Og i dag har vi han med oss på Skype. Ja, jeg er helt blown away. Det er fantastisk.
Jeg tror du levde på en sky den uka etter.
Det er så sant.
Ja, det er veldig gøy. Ja. Ja, du er fornøyd, du er happy.
Absolutt.
Ja, så da hopper jeg bare i det da. Today's guest is a big star for hairdressers. He's an international creative director for Sassoon. We are so excited to have you on Hårpodden. Welcome to us, Marquez.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be here for your 100th edition. Thank you. Thank you.
Can you tell us how your career started?
Can I tell you how my career started? Oh my goodness, that's a long time ago. That's a very long time. Well, yeah, okay, yeah. So I have no hairdressers in my background, right? So there's no, I don't come from a long hairdressing dynasty. And I suppose when I was a child, tell me if I'm talking too much, by the way. Tell me to shut up. When I was a child, I was always making things. Yeah, I was always kind of interested in creating things. I don't know. Do you know plasticine? Modeling clay. So I was always making things with that, or I was drawing, or I used to do, or I still do origami. You know origami, Japanese paper folding.
Yeah, I used to do that.
So I was always kind of making stuff, you know, and I was very interested in art. I was very interested in technical drawing. I don't know what you call that in Norway, but with a ruler and a, you know, design, architecture, basically. I was very good at that at school. I wasn't very good at art, particularly, but I was very good at technical drawing. Anyway, when I was 12 years old, my sister, who's 3 years older than me, she took me to see David Bowie. When it, and this is in 1973, May 1973. And I remember seeing David Bowie on stage, and I was like a 12-year-old kid, And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, he seemed to embody everything that I was interested in, which was like fashion, music, design, art, that all those kind of things. It all kind of came together. So I thought then I wanted to do something creative as a job. I didn't really know what it was. And it wasn't until a few years later that I had my hair cut in a hairdressing salon, literally sat there in a hairdressing salon, had my hair cut. And I remember looking around, and I was probably about 16 at the time. And I remember looking around thinking they all seemed to be having a really cool time, all these people. And they all look really cool. And they're all kind of, you know, they're all doing something really creative. And I thought to myself, hairdressing. And I'd never considered it before. And I thought, well, you know, I'll do that. So I was going to go to college to study hairdressing. And because my mom was a dinner lady, you know, a lunch. She did the dinners for the students at school.
Oh.
So anyway, they did a hairdressing course there. So I was going to study at this college that my mom worked at. And then my aunt, Auntie Jackie, she's now 93 years old. She's got a little blonde bob still. And she came over for Sunday lunch after I decided to be a hairdresser. And my mom told her, oh, you know, Mark's going to be a hairdresser. He's going to go to college. And she said, oh, no, don't go to college. My aunt was like this very glamorous kind of cool woman. She always dressed really cool. She was always very, you know, very kind of energetic. You know the character in that 101 Dalmatians, Cruella de Vil. You know her with the blonde hair. She didn't kill dogs. That not like that. No. But she's kind of flamboyant like that. You know. So she said, "Oh no, don't go to college. You should go to Vidal Sassoon because she was a client at Vidal Sassoon."
So I said,
okay, yeah, I'll do it. You know, when you're 16, you kind of just do as you're told, don't you, in a way? So I applied to Vidal Sassoon, and it sounds weird now, but when my aunt told me about Vidal Sassoon that I should go there, I'm not sure if I actually knew who Vidal Sassoon was. I'm not sure. I might have done, but I can't quite remember now. 44 years later, here I am, still there.
Kind of crazy. And that's fantastic story.
Yeah, I remember my interview was terrifying. There was this guy, I walked in to the salon in Bond Street, and I remember seeing all of the assistants, you know, the juniors, the guys that swept the floor and made the coffee and blow dryer and shampoo. And they all had, and this will sound terrible, they all had brown dungarees on. You know dungarees? So brown dungarees, a white T-shirt, because Sassoon colours were brown in those days. That was their company colours. so brown color, brown dungarees and white t-shirt. And I remember thinking, I want to be one of them. I want to be part of that team. You know what I mean? Because it just looked so cool. And for me, I grew up in the suburbs of London. And coming to the West End, coming to Bond Street was like, you know, quite a big deal. And I just thought, I want to be part of this. And the excitement and the energy and the creativity and the kind of sheer style of it reminded me of that David Bowie concert 4 years ago, you know, when I was with Tokyo. And I just fell in love with the energy and the camaraderie, the team spirit. I fell in love with that. And I kind of fell in love with the most amazing energy that was in the company and still is in the company. You know, I fell in love with that. Everyone spoke about the work, you know, the hair cutting and the coloring. They spoke about that with so much seriousness. You know, it was fun. It was, you know, it was a great laugh. I mean, God, it was brilliant being an assistant. We were so naughty, but it was so cool. You know, we were so badly behaved. You know, I'd probably get fired for the sort of things we did. But then when it came to the hair, we were super, super serious. You know, it was absolutely important. Everything else was kind of fun, but the hair, and that's still the same today. You know, we have great fun doing what we're doing, and you know, we try and enjoy ourselves, but the hair is still massively important.
Can I ask you something? Can you tell us a little bit about Sassoon's philosophy?
Sassoon's philosophy?
Yeah,
I mean, it's interesting, Sassoon, because there's been lots of things written about the company, you know, about the philosophy and about the rules that we have and about all this stuff, you know, all this kind of stuff, you know, the Bauhaus and Mary Kwan and ABC and all of these things. And I remember asking Vidal because I worked with Vidal quite a bit, you know, in the 80s and 90s, right up until he passed away. And I asked him once what his philosophy on hair was, because I thought, you know what, ask the man whose name's above the door, you know, what does he think it is? And he said, you know what, Mark, we're here to make people look and feel great.
Wow.
And that was it.
That's all right.
Right. You know, so exactly, you know, and he said, and people say to me sometimes, did Vidal ever say anything significant to you? And I'm like, everything Vidal said was significant, you know, and he said to me, you've got to be successful in the industry. You have to, first of all, you have to love the craft. You know, you have to have a passion for the craft itself. Then you have to have a passion for learning, for studying, for learning, for getting better, better. And then you have to love service. And what he meant by service was looking after the person in the chair, you know, looking after the individual in the chair. And that stuck with me for so many years, you know, the craft, the service, the education, the learning, have a passion for those three things. And I think when people talk to me about what makes, you know, what makes you successful, what makes a successful hairdresser, I always think that it's not necessarily, and this is going to sound quite controversial, I don't mean to, but I think it's true in my experience, you know, I've been in the industry now 70s, 80s, 90s, noughties, 10s, 20s, 6 decades. God, that's scary. 6 decades. Do you think I should stop?
No.
And I think what sets the great hairdressers apart, what makes them great, is that it's not necessarily their ability to cut hair, although obviously they're good, but that's not what it is. And it's not necessarily how creative, how imaginative they are, although they are that as well. What sets them apart is that every single time they have a person sitting in the chair in front of them, they make them feel like the most important person on the planet. They have this incredible communication skill that has an empathy, a sensitivity for the person they're working on, whether it's a superstar celebrity or, you know, Mr. or Mrs. Average, whatever that is. They connect with them in a very real way. And I think that's what makes people successful. And I think that's essentially what Sassoon is about. We have a method of working with hair that is based on a geometric approach. You know, it's based on the idea of dividing the head into very clean sections and cutting very clean lines, whether it's external or internal, in order to create any shape you want. You can create any, you know, it doesn't have, people have this misconception that Sassoon hair has to be that.
Yeah.
It doesn't at all. It doesn't at all. Obviously, it can be that, but it doesn't have to be that. It can be anything. And I believe that the way we work with hair is to make things easy for the person in the chair. You know, that's because to be honest, in the 60s, it was about, you know, a look. It was about the line. It was about geometry, because that's what Vidal was into. You know, he was into this kind of geometric look, and his team were into it as well. And they did these little geometric haircuts, and they were absolutely appropriate for the 60s. Absolutely perfect. You know, you can't imagine the 60s without a little kind of geometric haircut. And then in the 70s, it became about perms. And then the 80s, obviously, the color explosion. And the 90s and the noughties are all kind of amalgamation of those original decades. And I think today, people want really easy hair, whatever it is, you know, whoever they are. What doesn't matter what they want it to look like, they want it to be easy to do. Do you know what I mean? Whether it's the most extreme shape or the most, you know, kind of normal haircut. And I think Sassoon's method makes things easy, because no one comes into the salon and says, can you give me something really complicated, something that's going to take hours to do every day? Yeah, no one says that. No. Everyone says, you know, oh, I don't mind what it is, but I just want it to be easy for me to do. I want it to suit me, you know. And I think that's the essence of what Sassoon is, because he wanted to liberate people from having this stiff, rock hard kind of hair. And the manifestation of that today is we have such a technical expertise that we can kind of make hair do what we want it to do with just a comb, a scissors, a very simple blow dry, and that's it. That's Sassoon, you know, that's the Sassoon philosophy, I would say. And of course, the Bauhaus and, you know, their whole philosophy and the ABC methods are all part of that methodology. But the end result should just look like a beautiful haircut or color that suits the individual, you know.
Exactly. You know. Vidal Sassoon, you knew him very well. How was it working?
Well, yeah. What was it like?
Yeah.
It's bloody terrifying. No.
It was?
No, I tell you what. No, I tell you, I was very lucky, because when I started at Sassoon, I'd probably been there about 2 months. And probably not even that, a couple of months or 2 months. And I remember Vidal was taking a tour of the UK salon. And he asked to meet all of the London assistants. He asked to meet the London assistants. So we all went to the academy after work to meet with Vidal. And he walked into the room. We were all sat there, about 40 of us, all waiting in our little dungarees and T-shirts. And Vidal walked in, and he stopped. He looked like a movie star. You know, he was tanned. He was super fit. He was dressed impeccably. And he looked, stopped. He looked around the room at all of us, came and sat down, like literally in amongst the whole lot of us. He looked around, Paul smiled and said, ah, now I get to talk to the important people. And for him, for this superstar hairdresser, to tell the guys who were, you know, who were the guys who swept the floor and made the coffee and, you know, for him to say that we were the most important people was, it kind of chokes me now, actually, was amazing. Because, you know, there's this, and I remember going home that night thinking, oh my goodness, somehow I've ended up at this incredible place with this incredible man who everyone thinks is like this kind of god. And I've somehow ended up working there, which was fantastic. And then the next time I met Vidal was in Australia. We were in Australia doing a hair show. Well, a hair event, actually, for 3 weeks. I was going to be with Vidal for 3 weeks in Australia on my own doing press. Wow. Because we were launching the products in Australia and New Zealand. So I was there with Vidal to do models and to do, because Vidal didn't cut hair by then. This is like the mid 80s. So anyway, I had to meet Vidal, and he arrived, and his PR told Vidal wants to meet you. Can you go to his room? So I went up in the hotel to this suite at the top of the thing, and I remember knocking on the door. It was so embarrassing. And he opened the door and said, oh, you must be Mark. And in that moment, I couldn't think of anything to say. I was like so nervous. So I just said, you must be Vidal. So I was like, what? Of course it's Vidal. How did you say that? Where is it? And he kind of looked at me and he sort of looked at me and thought, oh, right, okay. And as I walked in, he said, did you want a drink? And I was like, oh, you know, what should I have to drink? Should I have a tea, coffee? Should I have a beer? You know, what should you do? And he said, I'm having a beer. And I noticed the newspaper was open on the table. And I remembered that he liked football. You know, I support Tottenham Hotspur. He supports Chelsea. And I said, how did Chelsea get on Vidal? And he said, oh, do you like football? And we ended up talking the whole time, the whole evening about football. And for the next three weeks, I just got a lesson in how to act with the press, with media. And we did probably about 15 interviews every day. And, you know, TV, radio, newspapers, magazines, whatever. And I was on hand with him. And Vidal was asked, in every single interview, Vidal was asked about the 60s, about Mary Quant, about London, about the Bob. Every single time. And every single time he answered it as if he'd never been asked that question before. Every single time.
Oh.
That's so interesting. Mm. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So he made that interviewer feel like, oh my God, no one's ever asked him this before. You know, I've got a scoop. So he made them, you know, so he had this incredible communication skill. And yeah, to say that it was a lesson, yeah, so it was amazing. It was always, you know, Vidal was always polite. He was always very humble. He was always, he was just the epitome of a British gentleman, but in a really cool way, you know. And I miss him a lot. I miss his knowledge, his wisdom. And I was lucky enough to spend, you know, 20 odd years working with Dal and learning from him, which is hopefully kind of stood me in good stead now, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Your aunt, 93 years old, my aunt must be very proud of you that you have been working for Vidal so long.
Yeah. Yeah. She was, she never let me forget it, that it was her yeah. idea. She always says, you're only here because of me. Nothing to do with me. It's all to do with her. Yeah, it was great.
The hair collections. How is the process to make those?
Oh, to make the hair? Well, I suppose really it's people sometimes ask me, when do you start working on a collection? And the real answer is, you don't really, because you kind of never stop. You know, the job that I have, the role that I have in Sassoon is to give more people more creative opportunities more of the time. That's how I kind of see it. Because I know that when I started at Sassoon and I had my first picture in a collection, how amazing that was for me. You know, I just felt as though I was part of the Sassoon story then. You know, to me, having a photograph of your work, and Christopher Brooker, who was the creative director then, chose my model to be photographed. And it was extraordinary. So really, I spend my time working with the team and finding them doing cool things with hair and say, you know, I love that. Let's hang on a minute. What's that? How did you? And then we make, and then we kind of build the story around the haircut. You know, so it's like, how did you cut that? What, you know, and the face and the person and the individual and the collaboration. So it's a big collaboration between me and the team and the model and the clothes stylist and makeup artist. Everybody that we use on a shoot works for Sassoon pretty much. So it's a very much a team thing. We have our own photographer, we have our own videographer, obviously the creative team, their muses, their models that they work with. And it's a kind of, although I'm responsible for the ultimate collection being delivered, it's a complete collaboration between all of these cool people all of the time. And it's probably, out of everything that I do, it's probably the most exciting thing to give the young team the opportunity to have a photograph, to show their work, to publicize it into the world. Obviously, it changes with digital. You can do a lot more. You know, you can do a lot more with the digital age. Sorry, am I talking too much?
No, not
it's a podcast.
All.
You can talk as
you
much.
Sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it's not like a start at this point, end at this point. It's a continual kind of thing. And then occasionally we'll say, okay, let's do some pictures. So I love what you've been doing. Your colours are beautiful. So let's get some people together. And then we photograph it, and that's it. So it's a very fluid sort of process, and it involves a lot of creative collaboration and a lot of talk and a lot of thought and a lot of emotion and a lot of visual. I don't know if you can see, actually, I've got on my wall, can you see, that's my wall behind me. I don't know if you can see. And it's got loads of post-its and pictures and books. And so I'm always kind of collecting. I think hairdressers are collectors, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know,
they collect, and they collect image, you know, pictures, they collect imagery, they collect thoughts, feelings, music, film, and it's all in here, you know. And I've always been interested in that stuff. So I'll be seeing someone do something with hair or whatever, and I'll think, oh yeah, that's like, and then I'll bring something else to it, and before you know it, it becomes something.
What does it take to join the Sassoon team?
What does it take to join them?
Yeah, a part of it.
To be a part of it, you just have to, it's very simple. I think you have to have a total passion for hair. I think more than the passion, you have to have a passion for hair, obviously, but you have to have a passion to work in a team, because Sassoon is all about working as a team. Even though, you know, I'm in charge of the team or responsible for the team, I work with them. They don't work for me. They work with me. I work with them. So I think to join Sassoon, you have to have a passion for working as a team, for using the methods that we use, because they are very particular. Even though lots of people now use the Sassoon method, it's still our authentic way, if you know what I mean. So if you want the authentic Sassoon, this is kind of where it is. But yeah, you've just got to be passionate. I think you've got to be prepared to spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days of the year being immersed in what we do, you know, because it's not a job, it's a vocation, I think. It's a complete, it's your life.
It's a lifestyle.
Yeah. In a word, yeah. I mean, lots of people marry people at Sassoon because we spend so much time at work. We don't see anyone else.
I heard you told that you feel like you never have worked a day of your life because you like your job so much.
But don't tell anyone that. No, it's true. I mean, it's true. It's because it's such an amazing environment to soon. You know, obviously, you know, you've got Vidal, the figurehead. And this is the truth. Every day I come into work, every day I'm at Sassoon, I kind of think, right, what can I do to perpetuate the Sassoon methodology? What can I do? You know, so every day for me is kind of a challenge, a good challenge to carry on what Vidal started. You know, that's my... You know, obviously, you know, Vidal was the first, you know, the head of the company. And I'm like the fourth in the line of that after Roger, Christopher, Tim, and now me. So I'm very aware of my responsibility, you know. Mm-hmm. But having said that, I absolutely adore what I do and have done since day one. You know, when I was an assistant sweeping the floor, making coffee, I love the environment. I love that. I love the team. I love the learning, and still love learning. And now, obviously, I'm kind of in a different way. I'm still learning, but I'm learning from younger hairdressers in Sassoon. You know, they're doing things with hair that I wouldn't have thought of, and it's my privilege to be able to spend time with them and watch them work, and hopefully try and encourage, infuse, inspire them to be better than they would be if they weren't at Sassoon. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Try and develop, you know. It's super fun, you know. So in that case, Amrita, I suppose I haven't really worked because a lot of people have a job that they don't enjoy. They just do it because it pays the bills. And that's so sad. Yeah. And my children now, I say to them, you know, whatever you do, I don't mind what you do as a profession, find something you love, because you work for a long time, you know, 40, 50 years or whatever. So find something you love and you'll never feel like you've worked a day in your life, because it'll be fun. Jamie, my son, is now a barber, and Lucy works at... He does men's hair. James Hayes on
that's so cool.
He's a bar. He does men's hair. He's really good, actually. He cut my hair.
Nice.
In the lockdown, I couldn't get it done at Sassoon. It's the first time I've had hair. Not at Sassoon. He doesn't work at Sassoon yet. He's still building towards that. But and Lucy, my daughter, she works at the front of house in the academy. So I keep them all very close. You see.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. How was Corona times for you guys?
Well, it was kind of weird because we were in the middle of a shoot, and then we just had to stop, you know, obviously. And we all went home, and I remember sitting at home thinking, right, so now what? What do we do now? And it was actually Tracy Sokosis, who was is one of our creative directors in North America, said that we have to do some education for our diploma students, our cosmetology students. So we set up Sassoon Online, and Sassoon Online we pretty much did that every day for the whole period of lockdown. It was from March until, well, pretty much about a month ago. We were doing online education. And I really believe that, obviously, you've got your podcast and stuff. I really believe that online education is going to be, I don't think it's going to take over from physical one-to-one, but I don't think it will, but I think in able to reach a big number of people or where distance is an issue or cost or travel or that sort of stuff, I think it makes things accessible. And I think it's such a, and in a way, you know, Vidal always used to want his legacy. When he was asked what was most important to him, he said education. You know, education was the most important thing. That was what he wanted his legacy to be. And I think with Sassoon Online, it's kind of fulfilling Vidal's original vision, which was to share his technique with as many people as possible. You know, So during that time, that's what I was working. All my family were out in the garden. Like this.
And you were in there and working?
Cutting hair teaching, with a computer and with a, you know.
But, all right. Okay. If you could change anything in the hairdressing world, what would it be?
I could change anything. I think what I would change relates to your question, Amrit, about the COVID situation. I would change people's perception of the hairdressing industry, because for me, and I think during COVID, I think I heard so many people on the news or on TV or radio, whatever, saying, oh my God, I must get my hair cut or must get my hair colored. It looks awful. I can't believe it. It makes me so depressed. And I thought to myself, there you go, you see, it is important. It is super important. You know, and people, I think the general public have this perception that hairdressing is something you do if you can't do anything else. I don't think it's as bad as it was, you know, when I started in the 70s, it was like, I don't think my dad spoke to me for about 2 years. I don't think hairdressing. Because in the 70s, unless you were in the industry, unless you were already in the beauty industry, you kind of looked at it and you're like, only gay men and women were hairdressers, were worked in the beauty industry. So I think I would change the negative perception of what we do, because what I feel what we do is super important. You know, I feel it's super important. And I don't know of many other professions where you physically come into contact with another human being. So it's a very intimate process. It's very powerful. You know, Vidal always used to say you can completely change someone, not just the way someone looks, but the way with a haircut, negatively, you know, positively or negatively. You know, it's a lot, very powerful position. So I think I've changed the way people look at our industry and tell them that it deserves more respect. That's what I would change.
That's a great answer. Do you have any tips for young hairdressers who are up and coming?
I think other than what we've already talked about, enjoy, you know, the three things, you know, that Vidal said, the passion for the craft, the passion for learning, and the passion for service. I think the service thing is so underestimated. You know, I don't think it's true. You know, people talk about young people now and they say, oh, you know, they're super ambitious. They're not prepared to wait. They want everything now, now, now. Mm-hmm. And I kind of think to myself, well, what do you expect? That's the world they've grown up in. My son's 26 and my daughter's 23. And when you think about it, the internet was commercialized in 1995. So my daughter has never known a world without mobile phones. And you know, neither of them have known the world without the internet. Whereas, you know, I'm 60 on Saturday, actually. I'm 60 on Saturday. I'm 60 tomorrow.
Oh! Congratulations.
Thank you. So I think young people have got this kind of bad reputation for being impatient. I don't think that's true. I think what they want is authenticity. And I think they want honesty, and I think they want integrity, and I think they want the truth, I think. From what I can see, you know, from my children and their friends, I can see that they've got, you know, they've been left with this world that they've got to clean up after us lot, or maybe, yes, you know, my generation, you know, and they're so much more aware of that and so much more responsible in that sense. I admire them. I think they're fantastically interesting. I think they have this incredible opportunity provided by things like the internet to communicate with the world. You know, they see their lives as being part of the world, not just being part of a city or a country or a place. Their horizons are literally boundless, you know. So I think, for me, I would say grasp, for young hairdressers and professionals, grasp the opportunities with both hands and run with it. Do what you can with it. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Enjoy yourself, really, is what I would say. Because, you know, to enjoy your career is so fulfilling, you know, and to make it part of who you are. But then I think they're tremendously exciting times, but unfortunately we've kind of messed things up for them a bit. They've got to feel so responsible.
I couldn't be more agree. We have some regular questions I'm going to ask you. Are you prepared for it? Yeah.
There you go.
What is your must have for your hair?
My must have. Any Sassoon professional, most texture refine, and my son to cut it.
What inspires you?
The team and my children.
Where are you in 5 years?
Where am I in 5 years? Here, hopefully.
Yeah.
Talking to you guys on my 65th birthday.
Yeah. Great answer. Where can we find you on social media for the listeners who would want to follow you? Yeah.
I'm on Instagram, Mark H. Sassoon, and I think I'm on Facebook, but I'm not very good with that. I'm not very good with social media. Mark H. Sassoon, Instagram. That's where I am.
Yeah. Wow.
Thank you so much for joining us on Hårpodden. It's been really, really nice to hear your story.
My pleasure.
We are really looking forward to this episode. Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
I'm the lucky editor who happened to find their way to this most incredible company. And, you know, I'm super proud to just continue the legacy, really. So whatever I can do that's a positive is you know, is great for me.
Yeah.
Okay. And follow us on our social media. And vi høres neste uke.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us, Mark. And you have the best day tomorrow. I hope you be treated like a king.
Thank you very much. Thank you.